What Keeps You Up at Night, Season 2, The Night I Didn't Sleep.
L'équipe de France est championne du monde en battant le Brésil. 3-0, deux buts de Zidane, un but de Petit. Je crois qu'après avoir vu ça, on peut mourir tranquille. Enfin, le plus tard possible, mais on peut.
July 12, 1998. The last goal was scored. The game is over. The commentator shouts, after seeing that, I think we can die peacefully. If you're French, you've heard this sentence a million times. If you didn't hear it live in 1998, you definitely heard it from your parents, grandparents, rehashed again and again on TV or radio. I'm not French, and I heard it for the very first time a couple of weeks ago. It didn't take much research to realize that the night of July 12, 1998, when France won the World Cup, is a national treasure. The French are able to recount exactly where they were when France defeated Brazil with 3-0 in the final. They can tell you how they celebrated the three goals and how with each one, an entire nation continued to break out into an ecstatic celebration, a celebration that would last the whole night, and for most, even the whole summer. But what was it about that World Cup specifically? France also won in 2018, and still you will be hard-pressed to find anyone who can quote the commentator. Was it perhaps the 1.5 million people that stormed Champs-Élysées? Was it the fact that it was France's first World Cup win? Did it help that the French national holiday was only 2 days away, or that the final played out on home territory, in a brand new stadium? My colleague Julia is from France. Her parents, Dominique and Pierre, remember the night of the win all too well.
Un alignement parfait des planètes.
The stars were perfectly aligned.
C'était exceptionnel.
Yes, it was exceptional.
La Coupe du Monde, là, c'était le...
The World Cup and being on top of the world.
The French newspaper Le Parisien actually described the night as the new French Revolution. Before the match, however, spirits were not so high. France was definitely the underdog, and everyone kind of expected Brazil to win.
Quelles sont les chances de l'équipe française de gagner la Coupe du Monde cette année?
Aucune.
There was no chance for France to win, a not-so-optimistic commentator told a reporter before the game.
C'était inattendu parce que je me souviens qu'au tout début de la Coupe du Monde, les
Français... It was unexpected because I remember that at the very beginning of the World Cup, the French team, which was Aimé Jacquet's team at the time, people were saying that, oh no, they're never going to win, they suck, etc. Until they reached the quarterfinals, they were a bit bashed by the journalists, the media and everything. So we didn't really believe in them.
The game broke all national TV records. 23.6 million viewers. This means that almost half of the French population had their eyes glued to the screen. Dominique and Pierre were no exception. They followed the game from their living room, a few kilometers away from the Champs-Élysées.
Nous attendions notre premier enfant pour fin juillet.
We were expecting our first child at the end of July. We were due on July 24. And so on July 12th, well, I was very, very, very pregnant. So we stayed home to watch the game on TV. The week before we had qualified for the final, and it had already been one hell of a party. We were already out in the streets, so we were really excited about the final. Not everyone is interested in football. Even me, for example, I don't usually watch football, but this time I felt involved.
So, the game started an hour before sunset at 9 p.m. in the Stade de France in Paris. The French government had even built the 80,000-seat stadium precisely with this occasion in mind, but I doubt that they even allowed themselves to dream that the game would go like this. As the French players enter the pitch, commentators announce them by their last names. Feverish supporters repeat them. While they enter, the French president at the time, Jacques Chirac, is seen in the crowd. He's wearing a blue, red, and white scarf over his suit and tie, and he's trying to shout out the names as well. And he's visibly struggling to do so. His mouthing is way out of sync. The legend of the 12th of July is closely related to who these players were, even if the president couldn't quite recall their names. But their ethnic origins have been a main topic of conversation in France.
Et aujourd'hui, c'est vrai, cette équipe à la fois tricolore et multicolore donne une belle image de la France dans ce qu'elle a.
The tricolor and multicolor team creates a beautiful image of France, said the president 2 days after the match. The national football team was seen as the representation of a united France, one where the descendants from France's overseas territories and former colonies could reach success and public adoration. And indeed, there was adoration that night in the stadium. Alain Grimaud, who was the liaison officer of the French Football Federation, witnessed the event live in the Stade de France.
It's all happiness, but also everyone is nervous because we're playing against Brazil, the Brazilian team of the time, which has Ronaldo.
And Maxime Dupuis, who is now the deputy editor-in-chief of Eurosport, was also one of the lucky ones in the stadium that night, although he was there to work.
It was a crazy experience because I had some tickets for the competition. I saw some games in Stade de France as a spectator. But for the final, I was in the stadium as a volunteer and I was paid for the first time. And I see my paperwork for my retirement in maybe 20 years. The first date is the 12th of July in 1998. I was just at the right of the presidential tribune. And I remember that it was an expensive tribune because I had Martina Hingis, the former tennis woman, just around me, some old footballers, and I could see where the cup was.
Once the referee blew the first whistle at 9 p.m. local time, spectators all over France, in the stadium, like Alain and Maxime, or at home, like Julia's parents, Dominique and Pierre, held their breath in anticipation. The match had begun.
I
remember there was a bit of excitement. There was a certain intensity in the air. I poured myself a little drink and we watched the game. And there was this silence in the streets. That was because of this intensity.
Except when there was a goal, there was a sort of clamor. You know, you could hear the people roaring from the street because it was summer, the windows were open, the weather was nice.
But it wasn't until Zinedine Zidane scored the second goal, though, shortly before halftime, that the crowd really began to go wild.
It's been fabulous because, as usual in a great football match, there was fear, there was the tension from the players. There was a lot of sweat, a lot of fright. After Zidane's first goal, we said, well, that's good, but it's going to be hard anyway. Then there was Ronaldo's opportunity, who got in front of Barthez, and the two of them collided. Then there was the second goal. It's amazing. We're going to win this final against Brazil. And then finally the stadium. The stadium. The crowd can be completely stupid. But it can also be great. People start chanting and inventing a slogan. And 1 and 2 and 3-0. But it's still something that was sung all over France in less than an hour. It was brilliant.
My favorite memory is seeing this perfect progression with Zidane scoring two almost identical goals. Scoring with two headers allowed us to take advantage of the Brazilians' weaknesses. And at the end, the cherry on top.
Le dernier but était exceptionnel, quoi.
The last goal was exceptional. We were already pretty sure we had won. And the cherry on top, the third goal, was wow.
Emmanuel Petit scored the third goal in minute 90 of the game. This goal really sent an already celebrating nation into the absolute heights of euphoria. France was world champion.
There is an explosion of joy at the end of the match. And the players do a celebration lap. They go and wave to their friends. And then they went up to receive the cup. They walked past me on the stairs. The celebratory lap lasted, I don't know how long it lasted, maybe half an hour at least.
Maybe it's because we saw them 10 times afterwards, but I remember perfectly the images of the players receiving the cup, going around the stadium, being so happy. We were just as happy as they were. Overall, it was the first time in history that France had won the World Cup. And on top of that, it was at home.
What I remember most of this time is not really what happened during the game. It was what happened after the final. It was a party, let's say a party, a joy. I think that people today that don't really like football are able easily to give more names of 98 than the last World Cup. I'm pretty sure of that. Zidane, Barthez, Deschamps, Blanc. They entered in the history of the country because they are the first one and because it was in France.
Effectivement, alors il y a la fin du match.
And then there's the end of the match. We watched the ceremony afterwards. We could tell there was a huge excitement in the stadium. So even though we were not there live, we were still part of the party.
J'ai eu la chance d'être dans le vestiaire et de voir les joueurs.
I was lucky enough to be in the dressing room and hang out with the players. They stayed a while before leaving. They must have stayed in the dressing room for an hour and a half or 2 hours, singing and drinking champagne. Chirac came into the dressing room too. Everyone was there. And that wasn't even everything yet. It took me 3 hours to get back to Paris. People were playing football on the motorway.
Alain then went to the Champs-Élysées, and so did Dominique and Pierre, joining 1.5 million other fans. Pictures from that night show how the jam-packed crowd overtook the whole street, which is less than 2 kilometers long and only 70 meters wide.
On sort dans la rue.
We go out into the street. It's swarming. There are honking horns, yelling, sirens.
Et tout le monde est hyper content.
And everyone's really happy. I remember intense happiness.
C'est d'une certaine intensité.
There was this intensity. People are carrying flags. It's sort of the symbol of this cup, to have your flag, to wave it, the jersey, the feeling of belonging to something. And then the cars coming and going, the people walking all over the place. It made no sense. People were climbing out of their car windows or sticking their heads through the sunroof.
Everyone was shouting, we're world champions, as if we all knew each other. In fact, everybody kept saying, can you believe it, we're world champion. We say that to people we don't even know. I was 10 days away from giving birth. I had a huge belly at the time. Well, I was fine, I was feeling great, and a passerby in the street said to me, hey you, give the ball back! I said, no, I'm keeping this one, it's mine. That was very cute.
At the same time, Alain was lost in the crowd, looking for familiar faces.
Je n'ai retrouvé ma femme qu'à 7 heures du matin.
I didn't find my wife until 7 a.m. We couldn't find each other. It was impossible. We couldn't get around. And there was this happiness. It was maybe the first time everyone was happy to be in a traffic jam. What's more, it was fun because everyone was playing ball. Footballs were going round and round, and that was fun. Ah, so much happiness. People were marching there with their flags on their shoulders and looking blissfully up at the sky. It was something like, we're here. I'm walking along the Champs-Élysées. I'm happy. I'm well. It was very, very exceptional. It's a moment. It's an exceptional moment. Those 2 days were exceptional. Unforgettable.
So, did you sleep that night?
Oh, no. I was walking along the Champs-Élysées. I bumped into a friend. We went for coffee. It was daytime.
Fans surrounded the Arc de Triomphe. And Adidas, the official equipment supplier of the French national team, used the opportunity for an iconic marketing campaign. They projected the names and faces of the players on the stone arch.
Then, the closer we got to the Arc de Triomphe, the denser the crowds became.
And I remember starting to see the lights on the Arc de Triomphe.
At some point during the night, the arch read the words Zizou for President in big blue letters, which is how fans affectionately call Zinedine Zidane.
The face of France that night was Zidane, and that means something.
Herman Ebongé is the Secretary General of SOS Racism, one of France's leading anti-racist organizations. He was there that night too.
C'était à la fois une réponse.
It was a very strong message to all those who reject this diverse France, who don't want to accept it. And on the other hand, an extremely positive message of joy and, I would not say revenge, but almost for some.
Zidane was only the second man of Algerian descent to play for the French national team since Algerian independence. On the night of the World Cup win, on the Champs-Élysées, people were waving Algerian flags alongside French ones. From the outside, it looked like the people were united.
C'est la victoire de la France, mais c'est aussi un Algérien qui a marqué deux buts. Donc c'est très important parce que pour la montée du Front National, et ben ça montre au Front National que les Algériens, ils sont bons.
It's France's victory, but also an Algerian victory. It shows Front National, the far-right party, that Algerians are good. This is what a celebrating fan said on the Champs-Élysées. But only 4 years later, Front National overtook almost every other political group and made it to the second round of the presidential elections. It's a battle that's normal nowadays, but then it was exceptional. The World Cup win in 1998 went far beyond being a pop culture event. It was political. And the reason for that, mainly, was that the French national team was more diverse than ever before. When this team won, it was hailed as the perfect image of a united France.
S'il y avait eu la défaite, peut-être que ça aurait été autre chose.
If it had been a defeat, perhaps it would have been different. But there was a victory. And the victory did indeed lead to the heritages of the players in the French team being valued.
Yvan Gaston is a historian who specializes in immigration in France and its relationship to sport.
And so we went from Africa, Ghana for Marcel Desailly, to Algeria for Zinedine Zidane, and also overseas origins, such as New Caledonia for Christian Carambeu, Guadeloupe for Lilian Thuram, but also provincial ones. In 1998, at the end of the 20th century, we were in the mindset that sport, and football in particular, offers an unprecedented opportunity for France to be united. In other words, in France, there's this fantasy of the one, the fantasy of unity. Overall, it's an enthusiasm shared by the left, the center, and the conservatives.
For the moment of the World Cup win, it seemed as though this fantasy was somehow within reach.
Donc il y a tous ces éléments qui font que...
So there are all these elements that make this a great moment in French history. That's something no one can deny. Very often, what we were told, what I heard, was that the public wasn't ready for this. But after seeing these images, it was impossible to go back, and it created the conditions for the public to be ready. So it was this leverage that also enabled us to say, well, now maybe the public opinion has made even more progress than you politicians have. Activists embraced this legacy much more than politicians. Politicians are the ones who make the final decisions, who have the necessary tools to move things forward. But personally, I don't feel that the politicians move the fight forward.
And for President Jacques Chirac, the win was the perfect opportunity to push the image of a united France.
L'équipe de France et la Coupe de France, la Coupe du Monde, pardon, la Coupe du Monde.
Autant Jacques Chirac a profité, lui qui était.
Jacques Chirac, on the other hand, took advantage of the situation. He wasn't a football fan at all, and he knew very little about the sport. But as president of the Republic, he really made the most of the victory and capitalized on it, which earned him a lot of sympathy points.
And indeed, Jacques Chirac gained 15 points of approval after July 12th. For the players on the team with immigrant backgrounds, the conditionality of the French public's support was burdensome.
Ça veut dire que voilà, quand on gagne, on est français, quand on perd, pff, on n'est plus français. C'est...
According to Carambeu, the meaning of racial unity is a double-edged sword. When we win, we are French. When we lose, we are not, he says. The French media was quick to claim this victory as one for a new, post-racial France, nicknaming the team Black Blanc Beurre, Black, White and Arab, a play on the words from the French blue, white and red flag.
Black Blanc Beurre is a slogan that tries to highlight the integration of people with different backgrounds. And it's a slogan that was used in 1998. In a period that had a bit of negative view on immigration, there had been problems with undocumented migrants. Racism was quite high. The far-right Front National was gaining support. So there were no apparent signs that this positive discourse on diversity would become mainstream. And when France won the World Cup, surprisingly, the discourse did actually emerge. There was almost a general consensus on this matter. Only the far-right stayed silent.
Spontaneously, without anyone saying a word, in every town in France, every village in France, people celebrated. And in fact, from that moment on, people were no longer afraid to say, we are France, we are part of France, because there was something that showed that they belonged to France. And that's when they truly, truly felt French. It means that today, for us, the legacy of the World Cup is this reference point, this point of identification for French people from immigrant backgrounds.
So it seems that the French people rode the high of the win, and in that moment, there was indeed a moment of unity. But it was just that, a moment. And it was a political opportunity.
When you take the slogan, it's really good. Black, blanc, beurre, you think of the three colors of the flag, you think of liberté, égalité, fraternité, kind of tree, French trinity. But the problem is that it was used everywhere, and it was it's a shortcut for politics to say, okay, everything is great. I think that we ask too much to football, as we ask too much to footballers. It doesn't last. If the wave of joy lasts one summer, but after that, when you see that 4 years after, you had the far right at the second round of the presidential election, it leaves a weird taste in the mouth.
In a poll conducted by France's National Consultative Commission on Human Rights a year after the World Cup, 31% of the French people polled said they believed that the French national soccer team included too many players of foreign origin.
The difference between the 2018 World Cup and the one in 98 is that we had already seen this diverse team. It was already in place in 98. Of course, the 2018 Cup is a part of that legacy, the continuation, even the affirmation of what the first one said. But it also follows the path already blazed by the 98 Cup. So from that point of view, it couldn't have had as much impact as the 98 World Cup.
Today, we don't put as much emphasis on the topic. Because, for example, in 2018, when France won the World Cup, it was very interesting because there were two victories 20 years apart. And these two victories can be analyzed very differently in terms of discourse. In 1998, diversity was valued. Zidane's Algerian origin was valued. And in 2018, no origin is valued anymore. We tend to think that this team is just diverse. Now, the emphasis is on the fact that this is a team that defends Republican values. So we've removed diversity from the conversation.
So while the World Cup win in 2018 was a celebration too, it did not change the country as much as the 98 World Cup did.
What I've often said is that the France of July 11th wasn't the same of that of July 13th. In between, there was this World Cup. Yes, the France of July 11th was, in a way, the France of rejection of the other. France, while I insist, it was only a certain part of France, a minority, that didn't want to hear about diversity, didn't want to hear about a multicolored France. On the 13th of July, it was just the opposite. In other words, it was a mixed-race France, a multicolored France, one that brings people together. It's the France that doesn't exclude, and it's the France that wins. This team was like one body. It was a nation, and it was made up of precisely what a part of France rejected.
Despite this political struggle, the unlikely rise of a young man with Algerian descent, who is a national treasure today, and the clear conditionality under which the French public is willing to support immigrants, this is not what the night of the 12th of July is remembered by.
It was the first time absolutely everyone was happy, that France as a whole was happy. And it lasted for 3 weeks. Everyone was smiling in the streets. I mean, everyone was just super duper happy, just because of this. And then there was that song, the World Cup song. Every time I hear it, happiness comes flooding back. You know, it's like, oh gosh, it's true, I have forgotten. But we won! It's amazing!
For France, it is the night they became a nation of champions, united in euphoria. It is the night a whole nation did not sleep. This episode was produced by Ilaida Habib, Ioana Plesha, Julia Rougier, and Masha Wolf. Our editor-in-chief was Lorraine Bess. Thank you to all who participated in this project. Check out other episodes of The Night I Didn't Sleep on Sciences Po's website and all other platforms.